The weather's been getting more and more spring-like lately. Maybe you've noticed the grass getting greener, tulips coming up from the ground, more robins at the feeder. After months of snow and cold, it's a great time to celebrate National Wildlife Week. The National Wildlife Federation is encouraging kids and adults to connect with wildlife and the outdoors. Besides, there's only so much you can do inside the house, right? The Federation has a lot of suggestions on how to do that, including planting trees, gardening, and more. David Mizajewski is a naturalist with the National Wildlife Federation and the author of the book Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife, 17 Projects and Step-by-Step Instructions to Give Back to Nature. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, it's a unique time, obviously, to talk about wildlife and getting out into the great outdoors. Do you have specific recommendations for this kind of unique situation we're in right now, David?
Yeah, we do. You know, at National Wildlife Federation, we've been hosting National Wildlife Week for decades. And, you know, normally we're really trying to get people to head out into nature, into the wilderness, and go to those campsites and national parks and all of those kinds of places to enjoy the great outdoors and hopefully observe wildlife. And obviously this year with the COVID-19 pandemic, we have kind of shifted our messaging a little bit and focused it a little bit more towards home. And, you know, the reality is that nature really is all around us. You don't necessarily have to go far away on a trip in order to experience it. Nature is literally right outside our door, even if you live in the middle of a city. And so for National Wildlife Week, we're doing something that we're calling the My Wildlife Challenge. And what we're hoping folks will do is just share pictures of themselves out in nature or their favorite spot in nature. You know, these could be the pictures from your last trip out into the wilderness, or they could be pictures that you take right now in your own little piece of the earth, your yard or your garden space, or, you know, on your evening walk with your kids, or your dog. Obviously, we want to make sure everyone is practicing the appropriate social and physical distancing, staying at least 6 feet away from anybody if you are outside, and washing your hands and following all those best practices. But if you do that, it's still okay to get outside. And in fact, it can really be helpful to de-stress in these really stressful times.
Well, I don't like the reason that we have to do this, but I kind of love the idea that, okay, to enjoy nature and wildlife, we don't have to drive across the country to a national park. We can take that stuff that's kind of background noise for us and focus in on some of what makes it special and unique. Can you get us started on some ideas on how to do that? Maybe the little brown birds we see every day. How can we recognize them again and start to have fun, you know, just seeing them around us?
Yeah, you know, backyard birding is the perfect way to connect with nature during the pandemic. You don't have to travel. Again, you literally just have to step outside your door into your yard. And there are birds all around us. We're in the beginning of spring migration. And there's, you know, a lot of species that are going to be showing up this week in the Wisconsin, you know, across Wisconsin, everything from, you know, songbirds, you know, orioles, flycatchers, vireos, lots of different warblers, but also things like sandhill cranes and pelicans and terns. There's all sorts of bird activity going on depending on where you live. And so one of the fun things to do is just go outside and start listening. You know, bird calls to me it's kind of like learning a new language. You know, if you were to travel to a different part of the world and to where people speak a language that you don't speak, it's just a lot of, you know, background noise. But once you start learning a word here and a phrase there, suddenly you get kind of clued in. To me, learning bird song is the same thing. You know, most of us take for granted and you just hear all these, you know, birds chirping, and it's, again, background noise. But once you begin to identify one species and then a second species, suddenly experiencing the outdoors has whole new dimensions. And in fact, we've actually got we've got an app, a new series of nature guide apps from the National Wildlife Federation that have all of the songs of all of the birds across North America. So you could download that app and actually listen and try to identify some of the different birds that are found right outside your door. Great thing to do with kids as well.
David, I'm a fantastic student for this because I can identify two or three birds by their sounds, and that's about it. What's a good place for me to start? Maybe using that app, or I know a lot of, you know, ornithology labs have them. How do I listen to what's out there and then match up with something like that in an app to where I can start to learn that foreign language that the birds are speaking?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think apps are the way to go. And as I was mentioning, the National Wildlife Federation has a whole new series of nature guides. And it's not just birds. We've got them on mammals, which also make certain calls. Amphibians, frogs are also calling right now. And our nature guide apps have a whole bunch of amphibian sounds, too. So a lot of times, frogs can actually sound like birds and vice versa. So, you know, the apps are a really great way to do this because you can download them onto your mobile device and, again, walk out the door with them. We're kind of talking about them as 21st century field guides, because in the old days you had to lug a giant book with you when you went out into nature to, you know, help identify. And these nature guide apps that we have now allow you to take literally 50,000 pages of content and thousands of audio files with you right in your pocket. Wow. So again, you can do this in your yard, on your evening walk, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a fun way to, you know, kind of experiment. You know, you're going to hear something and you're going to have to take some educated guesses on what it might be. But the apps actually let you hone in on your location. You know, you might have seen the bird and you don't know what it's called, but you can kind of filter the search results by things like the size and the shape and the color of the bird to help you kind of figure out, you know, what the potential options are. And then once you narrow it down, you can listen to a few of the different calls and hopefully you'll find the bird that you're hearing. And in doing so, you might even pick up, you know, the call of a different bird species too. So that's a really fun and easy way to, you know, to kind of, again, experience nature. You can put out a bird feeder right now too. That's something very simple. So many Americans have bird feeders already. And, you know, it's a great way to attract, you know, your backyard birds to one spot every single day so that you can see and enjoy them. And I was talking about the My Wildlife Challenge. That's another great opportunity to snap some pictures of the nature visiting your yard right there at a bird feeder. And what we are hoping folks will do is upload those pictures to the National Wildlife Week website. And in doing so, give us all something fun to look at, something to lift our spirits while we're all, you know, practicing self-quarantine during the pandemic. And every time somebody uploads photos to the My Wildlife Challenge, you get entered to win a cool outdoor prize packet with just some gear and things that will help you actually experience nature once the pandemic is lifted and you can go out camping and hiking and things like that.
Talking to David Mizajewski, naturalist with the National Wildlife Federation, talking about appreciating nature, maybe just in our own backyard, out our own window when travel is off the table. You can join in. A new number today at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Are you doing some backyard birding right now or appreciating nature in your own backyard, your own community? 800-228-5615. Well, David, I wonder, you know, we've got squirrels and rabbits all around. You can see those cities, country, just about anywhere. Are there ways that we can, again, these are background noise animals for me. Are there ways we can look at them with a fresh eye and become animal behaviorists and figure out what they're doing this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what it's all about. It's about while we can't go out on our normal day-to-day routines because of the pandemic, and many of us are working from home and the kids are home, you know, it's as simple as just going outside and making it a point to look at things that you might have otherwise ignored, right? And so, or listen for that matter, or smell, you know, all of our senses can be used to really experience the nature around us, even taste. You know, one of the things that we're also trying to encourage folks to do is plant a vegetable garden right now, or an herb garden. You know, if anybody is a gardener, you probably have seed packets lying around from last year. I know I do. So this is a perfect time to sow some seeds. You can plant them indoors, even if it's just in like little paper Dixie cups or something, little bit of potting soil, and get them going. Great thing to do with the kids. And then once the weather is warm enough where you're going to be past frost, you can plant them in the ground or in pots and then nurture them and watch them grow. This whole idea of doing a pandemic victory garden is something that is a lot of people are doing, you know, growing our own food so that we don't necessarily have to rely on going out to the grocery stores. So this is a fun way to, again, get a little bit more connected to nature, get yourself and your family outside, do something that can actually be part of if you have kids, it can be part of the learning that kids are doing as they're being homeschooled. You know, the life cycle of plants and the relationship between plants and animals. If you're trying to attract birds, you know, what do birds eat? They eat seeds, they eat berries, they eat insects. and our plants in our garden provide those. So lots of great opportunities there to just kind of connect the dots. And really, it's as simple as just making that a goal, making it a priority, and going outside and just observing. And I guarantee you will be shocked and surprised if you actually do that, all the different cool things that you're going to observe right outside your door.
It's National Wildlife Week. In a time of pandemic, we're talking about how we can experience the outdoors and nature during this outbreak with David Mizejewski, naturalist with the National Wildlife Federation. If you go to their website, you can find info about some of the apps that he's been talking about. And you can join our conversation right now. Different number than usual. Regular callers, the number today is 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Have you been able to get outside and experience some wildlife? What kind of interesting birds, animals, and insects have you seen maybe in your own backyard? Are you looking forward to visits over the next few months from maybe butterflies? 800-228-5615 is the number to call or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrich. We're talking about National Wildlife Week. That's the National Wildlife Federation's initiative to get people outside to the extent that they can during this COVID-19 outbreak. They've got lots of advice at their website, including some apps on how you can appreciate nature, maybe just by looking out your own window. David Mizejewski is with us, a naturalist at the National Wildlife Federation and the author of Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife, 17 Projects and Step-by-Step Instructions to Give Back to Nature. You can join in at 800-228-5615. We want to know how you're celebrating nature, maybe closer to home than usual. Are you and the family making it a point to get outside when you can? What kind of stuff are you seeing outside? Birders, what are you seeing? Getting any exciting visitors lately? 800-228-5615 is the number to call. That's 800-228-5615. Let's go to your calls now. We have Dan with us in Brule. Dan, hello.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. What have you been seeing, Dan?
I've been very fortunate with some of this weather coming through that it's the season that the trumpeter swans have been returning. Ooh. And fortunate enough to have them coming in and making a visit on an old abandoned beaver pond right by the backyard. And it's been beautiful. They sound like a old junior high band trumpeter, like the trombone section trying to warm up every time they come in and out.
That's
fantastic,
amazing.
Dan. Yeah, David, that's a great one to hear.
Yeah,
you go ahead, David.
A great example of the fact, again, that nature is all around us. And, you know, it sounds like you might be in a more rural area, Dan, but, you know, even if folks are living in cities, these birds are flying by. You know, most of our cities, major cities, are in some kind of migratory flyway. So it's literally just about getting out there and opening up your ears and opening up your eyes, and you're going to see some amazing stuff.
Dan, thanks so much for that call. Now, David, I know in your book you wrote about attracting birds. You also wrote about attracting butterflies, and I'm looking forward to monarchs. Some milkweed adopted some of my garden spaces a couple years ago, and I let it go, and it's spreading, and I threw in some feed plants, and now, you know, monarchs are showing up in pretty good numbers each year. Can you talk about how we can make sure we're on their flight path?
Absolutely, yeah, and I'm glad you brought up monarchs, because the world of local wildlife is broader than just birds. There's tons of insects, and butterflies, of course, are insects. And, you know, people don't tend to think of insects as wildlife, but they are. They're animals, just like mammals and birds and reptiles and things like that. And so these are a group of wildlife that can really be benefit from what we call a wildlife habitat garden. They're the kinds of wildlife that could coexist with us, you know, in our cities and towns and neighborhoods. And unfortunately, in the case of the monarch, it's kind of become the poster animal for what happens when we human beings get rid of natural habitats, specifically when we get rid of the native plants that wildlife has co-evolved with and that actually rely on each other to complete their life cycle. So, of course, monarch butterflies, well, like all butterflies, they start out as caterpillars. And every butterfly and moth species, their caterpillars can only feed on the leaves of certain plants. We call them that species' host plant. Without those host plants, the caterpillars die and the populations of these insects go down. Now, for monarchs, they can only feed on milkweed. There's a bunch of different species of milkweed, but it's only milkweed that they can use as a host plant. And again, milkweed has a PR problem because it's got weed in the name. And so we have gotten really good at just wanting to get rid of it, whether it's in our yards and gardens or in agricultural areas. And as a result, the monarch population has plummeted. It's one of the main reasons. And so what you just described, Rob, is exactly what we're hoping folks will do. Plant some native milkweeds in your garden, plant some native wildflowers that are going to provide nectar to the adult butterflies. Milkweed actually does both. It gets beautiful blooms on it that the adult butterflies will nectar at. And that's what we can do. Plus, don't spray pesticides in your yard. And if everybody does that, and now's a perfect time to be getting out there and planting those milkweed seeds and those native wildflowers, we're going to support the monarch butterfly population. Now, in Wisconsin, you guys are kind of towards the northern end of the monarch butterflies, the eastern monarch, their migratory route. These are one of the few migratory insects, and they – think about this. A butterfly flies from as far north as like southern Canada all the way down to the mountains outside of Mexico City. And there they overwinter for about 8 months. And just a few weeks ago, that entire population of butterflies is now migrating north. And it's going to take them 3, 4, maybe even 5 generations of laying their eggs on the milkweed plants, of their caterpillars going through metamorphosis and then emerging as the adults before they make it up to Wisconsin. And what they are going to need at that point in time are lots of those milkweed plants and other native wildflowers. So if everybody does that now, you'll know that you're helping give that population a boost, because it's actually really declined precipitously in the last few decades, and they need all the help we can get. That's the kind of stuff that the National Wildlife Federation has been promoting through our Garden for Wildlife program, and it's the exact kind of thing that folks can be doing this week during National Wildlife Week.
We're talking to David Mizajewski, naturalist at the National Wildlife Federation, talking about National Wildlife Week and ways to appreciate nature and wildlife, even when we can't travel so much to do it. Our executive producer, Judith Sears-Poisson, mentioned that, working mostly from home now, she's become more aware of the rhythm of birds in her backyard, what time different species might come to the feeders, how they act when they're there. That makes me think, David, a great project for kids would be to just have them be naturalists and keep a little field guide. What birds, how many, when are they there, when do they leave, what are they doing? That could be a lot of fun for them.
Exactly. It does not have to be complicated. One of the other amazing resources that we have up on the National Wildlife Week website, which, by the way, is nationalwildlifeweek.nwf, as in National Wildlife Federation, .org. So nationalwildlifeweek.nwf.org. We have made all of our Ranger Rick magazines available for free on our website. And so that means that all of our Ranger Rick and Ranger Rick Jr. and Ranger Rick Cub magazines have online versions with all the fun stories and comics and content photos that are in those magazines, plus educators' guides, plus parent guides, plus a whole host of other stuff like videos and games and projects and crafts. So if you have kids at home and you're starting to go stir crazy and the homeschooling is becoming a challenge, please tap into all this free Ranger Rick content. The magazine wins awards every year. My colleagues produce, these magazines that I'm personally incredibly proud of. I read the magazines as a kid. And so the idea that you just said about getting your kids tapped into being, sort of budding naturalists just by encouraging them to go out and observe and record what they see. That's where it starts with becoming a naturalist. That's how I got my start when I was a kid. That's the exact kind of content that you're going to get from the free Ranger Rick resources. And again, folks can go to nationalwildlifeweek.nwf.org to access that, to get more information on the My Wildlife Challenge and how you can enter that by uploading your photos or videos of nature. And it's just an incredible resource that I hope everybody checks out.
David, one more activity we haven't spent much time on. For people with the room, with the yard to do it, you're encouraging people to plant a tree to celebrate the week.
Absolutely. I mean, it's always a good thing to plant a tree. Trees are wildlife habitat. They provide us with shade. They can help us keep our houses cool and reduce energy costs. They, of course, produce oxygen and take in carbon dioxide. So, you know, trees are just a good thing to do, you know, anytime. So if you happen to be able to, you know, have, you know, maybe you have some acorns in your yard that you could now plant into a pot and make a little, you know, sort of home nursery. That's a great thing that you can do now. You can also call your local nursery or garden center and see if they are operating. Some of them still are, and they're doing things like sort of roadside pickup, where you don't have to, you know, violate any kind of social distancing rules, but you still might be able to get some plant material and actually plant a tree.
David, just briefly, where you are, what is the next wildlife migratory visitor or hibernating visitor that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, I am currently in the New York City area, and so we're definitely practicing lots of social distancing here. I am on my evening walks with my dog hearing the spring peepers. And these are tiny little tree frogs. They make a big old noise. And to me, it is just the sign that spring is really here. And it's kind of like magic. It only happens for, you know, a couple of weeks at this time of year. So pretty amazing.
That's a great sound. David, thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you, and happy National Wildlife Week.
David Mizejewski is a naturalist for the National Wildlife Federation and the author of Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife, 17 Projects and Step-by-Step Instructions to Give Back to Nature. We talked to him today about National Wildlife Week and the importance of connecting with the outdoors. If you search online for National Wildlife Week, you'll find their website with the resources he was talking about, the field guides, the bird sounds, and the free, apparently, Ranger Rick magazines. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, political divisions emerged right away as the novel coronavirus started to show up in the United States, and they may have hurt our response to the outbreak. We'll talk about disease in a divided country. A guest tells us why regular rituals are more important than ever when our daily lives see a lot of uncertainty. And we'll get the latest on Wisconsin's scheduled election day, whether or not it ends up happening tomorrow. And we'll take your calls with what you think about how the state handled it. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.